and welcome to the Love Meesh Podcast. I'm your host, Meesh, and it's a billion podcasts to listen to, and the universe guided you right here to this one. I've been podcasting for about 3 years now, so happy third birthday to me. I'm super excited to continue growing and sharing my journey with you. So welcome to my world. I'm a conscious being that shares esoteric topics that I've learned, but I'm also a human. So with that being said, I can talk about the human experience as well. Some episodes, we'll talk about Reiki healing and training, and then they'll range to why I keep choosing the wrong guys, to what teens feel parents should know, to fertility success teas, to conversations with guests, and who knows where that will take us. Tune in to all, or the ones you prefer. Special thanks to all the podcasters I've listened to years ago, before podcasting was a thing, that got me through some really tough times. My hope is that this podcast will sprinkle love, laughter, and the most informative tea as we live out this human experience. Lifing is hard, but you're not alone. Welcome to part two of the Love Meesh Podcast. Thank you for tuning back in. This is why I need to be writing my podcast flow out, because I just be going off the dome. But I had some pictures that I wanted to go over. I had some things that I wanted to say, and I forgot. So let's do them now. You know, it's not too late. Let's seize today. So today is August the 11th in the year 2022, in the year of our Lord. And Spirit put it upon my heart to talk about the number 8. So it is August. 8 is connected to abundance, prosperity, and financial well-being. Resourcefulness, hard work, determination, and inner strength are all the qualities of the number 8. Spiritually, 8 is seen as an equalizer or a balancer, hence its shape, that unites the consciousness with the unconscious, and earthy with the spirit. Oh my God, I was freaking talking about this in my last. In other words, 8 is reflected in the proverb, you will reap what you sow. So happy August, my loves. I know we are 11 days into August, but this is my first time speaking to you guys in the month of August. So happy August. Today is also a full moon. So I'm going to come back to the full moon, but since today is the 11th, let's go ahead and do the number 11. So 11 is a powerful number that is often referred to as a spiritual messenger. This number carries with it both positive and negative associations. On one hand, 11 can represent the need to make an urgent change, hence the saying, the 11th hour. But on the other hand, 11 is connected with one's destiny. In other words, seeing 11 can tell you a lot about your life path and what paths you should or shouldn't take. Now, I have a folder in my iPhone. Y'all know we have Note, right? Is that what it's called? Notes. And one of my notes is titled Angel Numbers. And I just always write down angel numbers that I see. When did this start? Let me see. Does it always update? Yeah, it always updates. Oh, it updated today. 8/11/2022, 5:55. Let me add that. 5:55. So, for example, when I see like that, I have a little check marks. And I put numbers by each of the check marks. So, I had 555 earlier today, and I just saw it again. So earlier, before the 555, imagine that, I saw 111. And then as I'm scrolling up, I'm seeing a lot of 111. So 111s have just been coming to me, right? So I love how 11 was talking about balance, the conscious with the unconscious. And then we have 11 coming back to reaffirm there could be positive and negative. So I'm getting balance the positive and negatives, which is something that I struggle with in life. When I'm high, I'm high. Nobody can knock me down. But when I'm low and nobody can get me out. And with my Scorpio and Libra and Cancer, it's just like a hot mess. If anybody's good in astrology, I know these are the worst signs to be together. How are you going to be lovey-dovey Libra, crybaby-ass Cancer, and ninja assassin ass Scorpio? Those don't even go together. This is the energies that I'm trying to combine. Like, what the fuck? So that's just going to be my life's journey, just always balancing, appreciating my highs and saving some of that energy for my lows to help me carry through, because I just feel it so much as a Cancer. I hate it. I remember looking at a TV show called Vampire Diaries, and them vampires will turn them fucking feelings off. And when they turn them feelings off, they are a savage. They gonna not just eat them. When they have their emotions turned on, they go to the food, the blood bank, or they do deer and animal. When them emotions is turned off, they gonna get churn, old women, kids, just killing people left and right because they're thirsty. And I feel like a lot of these movies, they aren't even about vampires or werewolves and stuff like that. They're like us. They created a vampire to show the ferocious attitude that humans can have. You know, me, that's just, and maybe in a world there are vampires, maybe even in this world, but I feel like a vampire could also represent a ruthless human. And we have several of those. But sometimes I wish I could turn those energies off, because if you have a Cancer moon, it's a lot. And it's so weird. I don't remember having a hard time with emotions before, or maybe I never addressed them, but now it's like I cry over everything and I hate it. And with my Scorpio rising, my sister says she hates crying too. So it's like my emotions are, my Cancer is battling my Scorpio. It's like, I want to cry. No, I want to cry. No, stop crying. Ew, why are you crying? It's just like so crazy. And then my Libra love is like, where's the love? I just want to love. But I get it. If I had a husband and kids right now, I would be off the grid, loving on my man, loving on my kids, not paying nobody any mind or attention. And universe is like, I'm going to need you to get this conscious stuff out. Because baby girl, when you get your little family, you ain't going to be no good for us. So I completely get it. I'm going to be so absorbed in family land. This will probably be the last thing on my mind. So that's fine. We'll go ahead and do the work now so we can enjoy the rewards later. So those were the numbers. You have your 8 to balance, conscious and unconscious. And then you have your 11, again, balancing the good and the bad, the ups and the downs, the highs and the lows. Now, with this being a full moon, I wanted to go over some affirmations. So today, the full moon is at 100%. The moon is in Aquarius. I didn't look that up. Let me look that up. I'm getting better with my astrology, y'all. Or just knowing what today is and seeing what messages I can get from the day is kind of where I'm at now. Like, if I see a bird, okay, let me look up that bird. What message could that have been? And even if you look it up, if that message doesn't resonate with you, you could say, you know, just close your eyes and say, what do you think that bird means? And the answer will just come. So we have Moon, Zodiac, Aquarius. Moon in Aquarius came right up. I love Pinterest. See if I can find a short one. So Moon in Aquarius, above pettiness. I'm going to read that one. Because I think some people just be doing the most. Moon in Aquarius, your soul in past lives may have experienced unreliable and unpredictable mothering. Oh my God, I'm about to drop the fucking phone. The moon, I don't know what gift this is, but it's just getting stronger and stronger, and it freaks me out. Y'all, what is this podcast about? I randomly went to Pinterest. Okay, so the moon in Aquarius, I need them lottery numbers to come through like that. Okay, spirit. Moon in Aquarius. Spirit like, girl, you get that money, you're going to be back at square one in 3 days. I give you 3 days, that money will be gone. I know, spirit. I know. I'll be like, you got a house. First of all my family getting a house. They all getting a car. College for the kids, or money set aside, whichever they decide. My 3 properties, boom, boom, boom. Whatever business is, because me and my sisters, we all got businesses. Help my brother with his catering. Help my sister with her nails. Help my other sister, these pieces of love. Set my mama them up. Set my grandma up. Make sure we good. And then probably charity. Homeless. I probably build a little homeless community. Like, real talk. If I were to win lottery right now, those would be the things that I would do. Like, right now. I don't know if the answer would change tomorrow, but for right now, that's what I'll do. Jacksonville will have a little, you know how they have Little China, Little Haiti, Little Havana, like whatever. I don't think I could name the place Little Homelessville, but oh, what about home? Homeville, like the homeless have a home, Homeville, and it will be like one room. I don't know if you guys have seen this on YouTube a lot, but in Georgia, you can rent this one room that has a bed, a big ass window to look out. It's in the woods. It has a little a top burner for the stove. There is a complete shower and toilet in there, and people are renting that shit out and having the time of their lives. I would build a whole bunch of those, give them home people a key, and if they have food stamps, they need to contribute somehow. If they have, you know, pensions from the VA or disability or something, they need to contribute somehow. But based on what they have, that's what they would give. If a mom can get housing and stuff based on what she can afford, which is nothing. The homeless is the same way. So you mean to tell me this human being has a child, you're going to help them. This human being does not, you won't. Like, that's inhumane. Help is help. If anything, you can help more of the homeless that don't need extra bedrooms than the mother than that continues to have kids that may need several rooms. You know, I don't know. That's just what I would do. So that would be my lottery winnings. But anyways, Moon and Aquarius, your soul and past lives may have experienced unreliable and unpredictable mothering, forcing you to develop an extreme sense of independence and emotional detachment, which led to difficulties in creating and maintaining one-on-one intimate relationships. Damn. I feel like that was for me. If that resonated for you, all right. But I feel like that was for me. I definitely got a message in there. And what I do is I save good Pinterest in my profiles, in my little sub folders. And I have so many. It's ridiculous. Like, this one is going into astrology. And then in astrology, I have houses, Libra, Mercury, planets, sun, moon, universe, zodiac. So I'm going to put this in Moon. So I do realize that in the past I had an issue with my mom, which was the same issues that I had with my relationships, and I just did not know. Yeah, that was like a mirror. So all the relationships that I had were basically mirroring the relationship I had with my mother, which to me means if you don't fix the relationship with your mother, all of your relationships are just going to be echoing. So you have to go back to the source, fix that, and then your future relationships will be examples of that healing and the fixed relationship that you have with your mother. So check, check, we've done that. So excited to see what this new human being will be like. One-on-one intimate relationships. Okay, so let me go back. So full moon, moon is in Aquarius. So let me exit out of those two. And let me get back to what I was trying to say. So under this full moon in Aquarius, you want to create a sacred space. You can light candles, get fresh flowers, show your crystals off. You can use art like oracle cards, etc. You want to clean your space. You can burn incense, Palo Santo. You can open a window to allow that stagnant energy to leave. I've been doing that a lot lately. I burn an incense every morning. I clear the room, I clear my aura, and I write with that stick. I write what I want to experience in that day. Love, peace, joy. I literally write in cursive as if the incense was a pen. And I haven't seen anyone do that. So I'm excited to be, that's what I want to do when I rebrand Love Mish. Right now I'm doing affirmations, but I want to start doing prayers and different things like that. Like, I don't know where that came from. It just came out of me. I just started doing it and I want to share it. Like, words are very powerful for me. So with me writing that word in the air, it's like, yeah, let me share this with the world. So let me keep going. You meditate. You can visualize your dreams. You can observe the mood, journal, do yoga, paint, take a bath. You can use the moonlight to charge your crystals, your water, other personal items. And you could take a moonlight walk. I'm in the utility room. I'm like, if that's a rat, I'm out of here. My thing is raining. It be so cold in the house. I have noticed I've been drinking, trying to get my water game up. and I've been peeing a lot lately, and I haven't been as cold as I usually am. So I was reading like cold hand and cold feet, and one of them said dehydration. So I've been trying to get that together, but I wish the world wasn't dangerous. I would love to take moonlight walks, but they snatching people up, raping them and killing them and shit, taking their organs. So one day we could circle back around to that moonlight walk. I know you can always go in the backyard, but it's a park up the street, and I love how big that park is. I would just love to walk around there, but being a woman, you have to be a little careful. So after I finish this podcast, I'm going to go visualize my dreams. And I may journal. Oh no, I have to meditate because I was supposed to meditate this morning, but I had to run an errand. So I'm going to meditate. And one form of meditation is through visualization. So I'm going to visualize my goals, my dreams. Oh no, what I wanted to say. So my little sister, who's a Cancer, all the way, all of her signs are Cancer. So she is so very powerful. She'll be telling me, hey, it's a moon, let's do this, and we'll manifest together. Like, you know, let her manifestation come through, let my manifestation come through, and we'll use our power together. When I tell you, she has been manifesting left and right. So today, I sent them a screenshot like it's a full moon. And I sent them what my intention was, which is I'm at a point now in my life where I know God knows what I want. God knows my hearts and my desires. She created me. There's nothing I can say that they don't already know. That source of them. I only said they because it's two, but I come to the real. I started out saying that source was a man because, you know, that's what you're grown up to learn. God, male. Then I learned that God was female. And then I learned that you can't say God is one or the other. God is both. Because there can't be another without it actually coming from God. So I say Mother, Father, God like that. So I'm still getting used to it. But the universe already knows what I want. So I think it is. That's to me, I think it's like an insult. That's like your child saying, am I going to eat breakfast, lunch, or dinner today? For the parents that usually do that. I know there are some families out there that may be a legit question. Am I going to eat today, or do I need to make sure I eat lunch at school? But for the norm, for the majority of people, if your child were to look up to you and say, am I going to eat breakfast, lunch, or dinner today? You're going to be like, what? Like, why? Is that even a question? Like, of course I'm going to care for you. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to give you shelter and food and stuff. Like, why would you even ask that? So I've come to a point where universe already know what I want. Right? And the answers are already there. No matter what path I take, the answers are there. Like, how amazing is that? But it's up to me to make sure that the choices that I make are in alignment with what I say I want. I can't say I want a new car, but every time I get money, I spend it. Where is your savings, honey? If you can at least get a stack up, you can go get you a car. So do you really want a car? So just that self-reflection, like, you literally can have whatever you want in this life, but you gotta stay on your own ass to make sure you get there. Like, if I was harder on myself, maybe I would have had my real estate license a while ago. But then again, maybe there are some other lessons and growth that I needed to where no matter what I would have done, then it still would have took me this long to get there. So many different ways to look at it, but just making sure that my choices line up with what I say I want. That's kind of where I'm at now. So I basically told both of my sisters, as we manifest on this full moon, I just want to learn my lessons and evolve and accept all my blessings, touch and agree. Because I feel like if I learn the lessons that I'm supposed to learn and I continue to evolve and accept my blessings, because I do feel you could block your blessings. Like, you could say, I want a soulmate so much, but always push love away. Or you could say, I want a child so much, but subconsciously fear. That was an article that God sent me, too. You could subconsciously fear being a parent. And that's one of the generational traumas that I have, too. I may do a podcast about that. I did not know that you could fear, like, choices that previous matriarchs have made. And that makes your body not want to give birth because you're scared you're going to do the same thing. And I don't want to, and I may have a fear. It doesn't feel like a fear. But I damn sure don't want to fuck up or make mistakes or I really feel like children love their mother so much, they'll never say, you literally fucked up. You screwed me over. I wish I had another mother. Like, they'll never say stuff like that because they love their mother to pieces. But if we were just calling a spade, some kid, if they really were being honest, they would be like, "What? Why did you pick that to be my dad? Were you dickmatized? Because this nigga ain't shit." Like, could you imagine your child telling you that? So I do want to make sure that I am growing and developing the way that I need to so that I won't pick someone like that. You know, that wouldn't even be my energy, my vibe, and I don't want to produce a child out of that. Like, is that love because you want a child, or is it love because together y'all co-created an amazing human being? Like, I don't know. It's just still kind of filtering through that. But I know procreation can work on so many different levels. It could be a lesson. It could help you grow, develop. It could be a mistake. It could be a blessing. Like, I know there's so many different paths that having a child could take. But the way that I'm looking at it, like, I know what I don't want it to be. And I probably just need to stop focusing on that. So, yeah, that is definitely fear. It's my own question. So, when I stop fearing messing up or being a bad mom, I know that my child will come. So I'm just going to continue to do the work, and I will keep you guys posted. But the day that I'm pregnant, I will literally scream for a whole minute on here. Like, loves, I'm pregnant. It's going to be insane. Let's see. Let me just exit out of here. So yeah, I didn't know that. You could subconsciously fear having a child. Like, wow. And I would not have known that had I not intended to write this book called Roses and Thorns that led me to all the different traumas you can have, that led me to healing my own damn traumas, that led me to not just addressing traumas but addressing healing modalities, putting it together in the book and sending it to the world. Like, just follow your path. It will turn out to be what it's supposed to be. Okay, so let me see. Did I have anything else? Let me see. So I did what I wrote my sisters. Oh, I do. Full moon affirmations. So full moon affirmations would be, I release what is no longer serving me. I open up to receive my highest good. I surrender all fears and doubts. I release all lower vibrational frequencies. I allow life to flow through me freely. All obstacles on my path are effortlessly removed with ease and grace. I release pain and suffering as a means to grow. I'm open to receive the abundance of opportunities that are flowing to me. I release all beliefs, relationships, and people that no longer serve my highest good. I let go of all that is not in alignment with my purpose. I allow myself to receive all that I desire. I activate the river joy that flows through me. This is through thetathoughts.com. And on Pinterest, this is the Theta Thoughts affirmation. And let me just add that to my affirmation list. I have fallen in love with affirmations. At first, I was like, what? What is the affirmation thing? Like, I accept money. My bank account is still the same. Like, it doesn't work like that. It's not. I mean, it could. Maybe. Maybe. Some people probably do get it like that. But I think it's saying it over and over again, just like me taking that test over and over again and finally, like, memorizing it and passing the test. I feel like affirmations are like that. So I've been doing it for a while now. Like, I started recording myself just so I can play it in the morning. I could be doing my makeup or brushing my teeth and just playing and hearing them in the background. Just because I have to do so many things at once. Like, I have got to get this time thing down packed. But if I just sit down and say my affirmations, I'd rather be brushing my teeth or doing my makeup or doing my hair while the affirmations are playing and I'm repeating. That just kind of works for me. But, yeah, I'm going to be able to play everything. I'm going to play my meditations, play my prayer, play my affirmations, like, just pray and go. But, you say them over and over again, you believe them, you start to change your mind, they start to manifest. Like, it all starts in the mind. You know, saying it over and over again, you're going to start to see it manifest. Like, what just manifested for me? Oh, I did. I've done several affirmations on different topics, but one of them was wealth. And I found this page that I really love that has so many different affirmations on it. So I do give credit to the page as I say those affirmations, but I still have to make the video by myself. So I find it I find a nice picture to go with it. I find the background music, and I try to make it a good frequency or a good beat or, you know, something along those lines. And I actually added like coins and different money sound effects. And I was like, yeah, I like that. So I think I'm going to start doing it like that more. Usually I just let the song play. But if I add those little effects, I think it's kind of cute. Like my little touch to it. Why I left my job and I had borrowed from my TSP. So I thought I owed them. Like, okay, I don't work here anymore. Like, how are we going to do this payment plan? She's like, oh, you could cash out. Bam, check in the mail. I got an offer for another credit card. Boom. I got a credit line increase, boom. And it's just like, okay, Lord, okay, I see you. And so I know the next thing for me is just to continue to save. Like I put majority of it away to save, and I'm in a position where I can build up. I always remember my mom saying, just stay here and stack until you can get your house. And I just kept leaving, wasting money. Like, oh my God. I did love, like, having my own space and, you know, having my own decorations, but I was still alone. Even when I had the cats, I was still alone. So, with me growing up in a family of six people, like, I love having my space because I never had it. It was somebody in every room that you went into, but then I missed the noise. Like, you'll hear someone laughing or you hear someone cooking or you hear the toilet flushing. Just that noise of a big family and be so, it'd just be so quiet with me. So, especially as a Libra, I just know I'm going to blossom even more when I start my family, because that's just the home, you know, that's just the Venus home planet. Just loves family. And nothing quite cuts it. Not a friendship, not parents, not extended family. When you have your own partner and your own kids, it's just a different vibe. I'm not even going to argue with anybody about that, but it just is. It's just different. But I was like, okay, money affirmation, money coming through. So my next plan is to continue to save. I even got a business line of credit. I forgot. Got a business line credit, approved for a business line credit. What I didn't do last time when I had my credit card was bring my sisters along. And I regret that. So this time around, it's not as much as it was before, but I brought them along. I'm going to do another. I'm going to be an authorized user on an account. Let me see if I can get on my parents' account, because, baby, I'm trying to get where they at. And I want to be at 700. Like, I'm almost there, but damn. I want to be at 700, and then my next goal will be 800. And I was against money in the industry, but no. The money isn't the problem. What you do with it is. So, I'm still going to make the money and use the credit and stuff. But I'm going to try to put it in the spiritual communities, put it that way. So I have signed up for a couple of Patreon, like at the very low level, like whatever they low level is. I just want to like support them spiritually. And I am going to sign up with Seven Bomar's team. Like he has a program where he talks about spirituality. And I want to sign up with his program because he is the one that gave me my first key. So I do want to honor him. And then, like, my parents are just so gracious, you know. They're helping me out a lot. And I'm just going to give them extra just to kind of bless them back. Because, you know, they didn't have to. I think parents do look forward to their kids leaving the nest. But my mom has always said, it will always be your home. You know, the locks will never change. Like, this is your home. And I see she got that from her family. You know, she loved home. And so she made sure that her kids will always have a home. And so what I'm going to do is make sure that my kids have a home too. Because I left early. I left and came back so many times, fucking ridiculous. But I didn't know the backstory. I left because I didn't understand the backstory. Now that I understand the backstory, it's like, oh, this is why you did what you did and how you did what you did. Okay, I see now. But I just could not understand it for the life of me for so long. And now that I do, it's like, oh, okay. So I'm going to make sure my kids know why I do what I do. Because just telling them, they're missing the biggest piece that they need. But anyways, I'm going to start sending my grandma some money too. But I'm excited to start make. I've been making candles and plates and jewelry and stuff. Like, I'm ready to open my store back up and get the ball rolling on that. But where was I going with that? Let me see. Did I have any more? 1, 2, 3. Oh, the manifestation. So, do your affirmations. It's going to start to come through and you're going to be forgot. Like, matter of fact, let me tell you when I posted that manifestation. Freaking, because it's been that long ago. And you know, you don't know when, but the money's just, to me, the money just started coming through. And it could be more in a way. So, let me see. Your channel. And I did my money manifestation videos. I did a money a month ago. So just keep doing them. You know, you might say I'm a money magnet and you won't get a check that day. It's okay. It may not be that fast. Maybe it will. Or 30 days later, checks will start coming in. You get credit line increases and unexpected money and stuff. Like, you just sow the seed. It's going to grow when it need to grow. One thing I have learned, my mom has a garden. All the seeds are tiny, 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 but they all grow differently. Some grow fast, some grow slow, da, 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 da. So look at your affirmations like that. Some are going to come fast. Some look at your dreams like that. Look at your visions like that. You know, look at your goals like that. Some are going to happen fast. Some are going to happen slow. And you just have to accept that. Like, it just is what it is. Okay, so let me exit out of there. And let me see. Was that everything? Okay, yeah. So on this podcast, we're going to pick up with the article. I'm going to let you hear the article. And then after the article, I'm going to go to the book Batter and tell you what my favorite parts were. www.essence.com. The title of this author is called Arthur Shares How Some Black Woman's Toxic Relationship with Their Mothers Can Lead to Imposter Syndrome in the Workplace. Fantasia Brown said she wrote her semi-biographical book, Batter, The Makings of a Tough Cookie, to help Black women suffering from mother-daughter conflict. The Black female iconography has been the saviors, cooks, cleaners, caretakers of their children and other people's children. The ones responsible for making things better that we didn't mess up in the first place, the sex objects, superheroes, the magical Negro, the ones that are everything to everyone while operating under a public gaze that has constructed this superhuman stereotype, Nell Livingston. What happens when your superhero is also your villain? That's the question Fantasia Brown, 33, that's my number, y'all, often found herself battling to answer during her tumultuous childhood under the tutelage of her mother. She was mentally, physically, and spiritually abusive, she said. Growing up in Omaha, Nebraska, Brown said her mother, who she believes suffers from undiagnosed clinical depression, was once her best friend. She taught me everything that I needed to know about femininity, and I looked to her for everything when I was a little girl. She shared, raised in a mostly white town, Brown says she thinks the societal pressure of caring for a child as a young single Black woman took a toll on her mother. Now, I'm not going to read the rest here. There is a link in the description where you can read the full thing. But what I want to do from here, because when I read this article, it inspired me to buy the book. So I actually bought the book, and I want to go over some things that I found interesting in the book or that I related to. And if you can, I suggest you get a copy, an e-copy or a paperback. Let's support people in our community, because there's a lot of things to learn in here. What I've come to realize is that knowledge is there. All the answers in the world is there. But you have to open up yourself to that knowledge so that you can apply it to your life. Because if you don't, it's just there. And you could miss a lot of opportunities by not knowing. So when you learn something new, it unlocks a door in your mind, let's say, the brain, where neurons can make new paths that will open up new thoughts and points of view and different decisions that you can make in your life. But without getting that knowledge and education, you'll miss that door. You'll miss that opportunity. You'll never have that key to open the door. So I'm going to pause for a moment and then I'll come back and just, y'all know I love to read. It's so many good pieces of information in here, but I'm just going to try to pick out the ones that were near and dear to my heart. Okay, so we're already at 30 plus minutes, and I don't want this to be too long, but the book is called Batter, The Makings of a Tough Cookie by Frantasia Brown. I highlighted so much stuff in here. I love how she did her chapters. This is what she called them. The preparation, preheat the oven, gather your equipment and ingredients, cream together butter and sugar. The process, stir together your dry ingredients, beat in eggs one at a time, mix together wet and dry ingredients, then fold in your extras. Divide evenly into spoonfuls, shape and mold. The presentation, bake at 375 degrees, transfer the cookies to a rack to finish cooling completely, serve and enjoy. I love how she titled her chapters. Okay, so let me go. Let's start from the beginning. She does cute little quotes too. Like the first one says, set your life on fire, seek those who fan your flames by Rumi. And I love that. So let me go through. Sometimes I don't have a pen, sometimes I do. This first couple pages are blank. This was a good part. Every little girl's dream is to be just like her mother, to walk like her, talk like her, and dress like her, to fix her hair the same way, put on her makeup and walk around the house in heels, 4 inches too big, bang on her arm, and if she is fancy, pearls draped around her neck, bag on her arm, I'm sorry. Practically all little girls aspire to imitate Superwoman in the flesh. Even Beyonce admits that her incredible ability to boldly captivate and fiercely dominate the world was much credited to the heavy influence of being nurtured in an immense amount of feminine energy. When she states, and my mama was a savage nigga, got that shit from Tina. In the hit Savage remix by Megan Thee Stallion, unfortunately, this is not the reality of many. What happens when the reality image of God in flesh is not visible? When the image that is supposed to show you impeccable beauty, strength, and wisdom is subpar, or in some cases, completely absent? So that's when she begins to say everything was perfect with her mom at first. And then all of a sudden her mom just was not there. Let me read some of the hurtful stuff. Then one day everything changed. She was just not the same person anymore. Now, of course, the change in my mother wasn't overnight. But a child's eye was naturally... But to a child's eye who naturally isn't studying the progression of a mental shift as a psychiatrist would, it was all of a sudden. She went from communicative and engaging to withdrawn and distant. The person who once was intelligently stimulating me at an accelerated pace had now retreated to spending most of her day withdrawn, head down in a pad. Being an only child at this time, I withdrew to do what I did best, entertain myself. I had a huge imagination and I loved to read. Between a good book and my mind, I could take myself anywhere I wanted to go. Music was always my first love, so I always got lost in a song, either singing, dancing, or trying to mix some beats. One minute I was DJing at a pop nightclub, the next boom-ass attorney at a prestigious law firm. Some days I would pretend waiting tables, other days I was busy teaching my imaginary class. She goes on to say, I watched my mom's emotional state grow from good to bad to worse. First, she was sad. She would spend days in bed crying. At first, it was alarming, but over time, normal. There were many days I will return from a dream world to play to find my mother sobbing, which as I aged grew annoying. As a young daughter who at the time still glorified my mother, who appeared overwhelmed in sadness, I just wanted to make her feel better. Slowly, she transitioned from sad to angry. The slightest thing would set her off, and her patience began to become more fleeting, and she began to be abusive. I remember one day walking home from the store, my short little legs couldn't keep up. When we got home, she whooped the shit out of me. This was my first dose of physical abuse I would experience, but it would be far from the last. Ever so often, I would get a whooping for no reason. A lot of the times, nothing. Just purely because she was in a mood to whoop ass. And that is so sad. That was her mom taking her anger out on her. Or not even taking her anger out on her, but if you have so much going on, you're on edge. So the slightest little thing that a child does, a child's gonna do child shit. You got adult mad on a child. You have to tone that down to adult mad, but in a child manner. It's a child. So she grew up to deal with that. She was in relationships when people, guys would abuse her. She would stay because she loved them and she just wanted to, you know, make them happy the same way she did with her mom. It was like a damn mirror. So let me see. And then what's sad, she remember when her mom got in a relationship, she wouldn't let her go outside. When her mom got in a relationship, she let her go outside. Like, really? And, but when that relate, and then she got pregnant by the guy, and that didn't work. And she was sad that she was worse before, but now she got a little sister. That was just sad. Let me see. I'm trying to skip through this. I don't want this to be long. Probably get whoopings. She would go to her aunt's house just to escape. Oh, the kids in school would pick on her because her mom wouldn't let her go outside, so they thought she was better than them. She said, she didn't feel ghetto enough for the hood kids because things like learning was frowned upon. And I relate with that. My mom brought us to the South Side. We love learning and reading and stuff. And them kids at Hogan was like, why y'all talk why? And all like that. Like, and then we got to, not Hogan, Love Grove. Then we got to Hogan. Like, all the white kids was preppy with knew everything and, you know. And we was like poor. We could tell then that we, so at Lugra we seemed like we were well to do, but then at Hogan it seemed like we were poor. Then she said the white kids were so different. Black kids were angry and cruel. But I was always too black for the white kids and too white for the black kids. She felt isolated. Okay, so one day I had enough. I went around the house snapping photos to send to Child Protective Services. Then I thought about my sister and what it would do to her to be separated from her mother. Time passed by and I continued to suffer growing in anger. I spent as many days as I possibly could either at my grandma's or Aunt Karen's house trying to escape the madness. That is so, like, if you were a mom, would you be sad to read that from your daughter? As I entered junior high school, I found out my mother was dating someone, to which left me beyond disgusted. Not only did he look like Flavor Flav, but her priorities were all messed up. Like, she couldn't even take care of her own home or keep herself together, was trying to find time to get some dick. Wow. See, this is what... this is what I don't want. And the best kids will never tell their parents. But you got the blunt ones that are going to be like, you royally fucked up. Let's see. She said, then she had the audacity to jump up and leave at any given moment at his beck and call and expect me to just watch my sister, which pissed me off. I was offended. I mean, were we not worthy of her time and attention? This instantly caused me to grow more resentment towards her. She wouldn't jump up to cook. She wouldn't jump up to clean, but she would jump up and be supportive, nurturing, and caring and leave for some dick. She goes on to say, the living conditions that I was exposed to kept me in a constant state of rage. I continued to skip school because I didn't see the point of it anymore. I didn't see the point of anything. During sophomore year, I got put in a system for truancy. The court took me from my mom and I was placed in a group home. At first, I didn't know what to expect, but a couple of days there, it felt like home. Or should I say, like the home I never had. There was so much structure and order, I loved it. I remember missing being on the outside, kicking it with my girls, having 15-minute phone conversations sucked. Having to have the commons area lit on this and to sleep with the doors open annoyed me, but other than that, I was having the time of my life. We got to have group meetings and talk about feelings. I had weekly visits from a therapist. I got to wash my clothes as often as I wanted to. I could shower twice a day and had an endless supply of fresh towels. We cleaned as a unit. We played as a unit. We laughed as a unit. We cried as a unit. It was beautiful. The food was wonderful. There was breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks. I had my own bed with sheets. The best part of all was I had roommates. It was like a dormitory of misfits. In my mind, it was like Harry Potter meets jail. But it was the first time in my life that I felt safe, secure, and free to be 100% me. In sober mind, body, and spirit, I was doing all the things that I enjoy: writing, reading, creating music without harassment, judgment, or disturbance. I even think I was wearing my natural hair without any weed. Do not quote me on that one. Every time they asked me if I was ready to go home, I would say no and pray my stay was extended. However, the system was not designed for me to become a permanent resident. Eventually, I would have to go home. Isn't that sad? Can you imagine your daughter saying this? Your daughter or son. Isn't that sad? Then she says, after I got out, I saw that the house was more in order, but nowhere what it should have been. Even though I was happy for the availability to look out of a window, I was not happy to be home, and therapy did not work for my mom. She was completely uncooperative with any resolution the therapist had. I tried to spend as much time as possible away from home. I mainly crashed at my cousin's house to maintain peace of mind as well as lifted spirit. I did well on probation. I was not smoking or drinking until I got off. She kept dropping out of school. She said, I had to drop out of school almost every year. I found myself being on track to graduate on time. I was proud of myself. I was getting ready to graduate and get this shit over with. I was at peace in my life now because I wasn't living at home. I had moved in with Shine and was helping him and his girlfriend with his newborn baby. I had got my first job and was trying to do right. The unfortunate problem was I couldn't get right. I couldn't shake the depression that had plagued me since childhood. This is what I'm talking about, y'all. I still felt empty inside. I needed another way to deal with the pain, so I started having sex. I relate with her here, unfortunately. Not because I was in love or because I thought I had found the one. I think I did, but it was an illusion. But I was just bored and tired of being a virgin and had heard sex was the gift that keeps on giving. I started having sex. I did not stop. I instantly became an addiction for me. Definitely relate. The more pain I felt, the more sex I had. Being high and having sex was a combination just as satisfying, if not more, than a two-piece and a biscuit and some hot sauce. In the beginning, I had a standard in men until I looked around and saw that he didn't exist, not even close. So I started dating what I knew, gang members. I tried to date the non-gangbangers too, but they were corny or had no sex skills, and it didn't work out for me with my sex drive. Considering that I need to have sex at least 3 times a day every day, I did not care whether or when I was down for whatever. Once I started having sex, that's all I cared about, sex and money. As long as I was grinding, life was good. If I could wake up and buy whatever I wanted, eat whatever I wanted, and do whatever I wanted, it was a good day. There was no substance taking place in my life at this moment. I was operating from an empty place. I noticed the more pain I was in, the more I fit in. I was more accepted for being someone who was broken than someone who had their shit together. Every weekend, I was in a club smoking, drinking, and partying my ass off. I had not even reached the age of 18. Damn. So here we go. Sean was arrested. Again, I was losing the main man in my life who loved and protected me. Between his arrest and the pregnancy scare I was facing, my mind had all jacked up. 1 month before graduation and I dropped out. There was no way in hell I was focused on anything as pointless as homework. This was sad. She said, I did not care what happened to me. I just did not want any kids. Even more so when I found out my potential baby father used to hunch on my cousin. Isn't that wild? Shit was out of control. I mean, I was a serial dating multiple guys, at least 5 at a time, smoking reefer like chimney and hanging out with convicts. This was not Uncle Phil's house at all. Shit had gone so left that one morning I found myself being woke up to by Tyrone, another loved one, to another uninvited and unwelcome sexual encounter. Is that crazy? I think I had processed the thought of unwanted hands touching me so much that I just became numb to the violation. Eventually, I found myself moving back in with my mother and tried again to get my life on track. Maybe the separation is what she needed to be better. She stepped up in her mothering skills to be a little more supportive. She was cleaning up more, had celebrated my 18th birthday, which is something she had never done since I was 10. Isn't that crazy? I wasn't on edge or stressed by whatever mood or personality she was experiencing that day because I had access to free marijuana I wanted. More importantly, I was grown and now I could leave and go as I please. She just went through so much. So eventually she ends up having a daughter, falling in love. The guy would always hurt her, but she would always take him back every single time. She would move out. They would move out, get their stuff together, move back in, move out, move back in. Now, I moved back in by myself. I can imagine what it would feel like moving back in with kids. That has to be like a different feeling. So shout out to all the people that moved back with kids. Like, just still be thankful that you have a place to go. But I know it has to have a different weight on it. Because I know how I feel coming back home, just me. But she started realizing she's doing the same thing that her mother did. You know, choosing this guy that doesn't love her and she has a daughter watching her. So she ended up dating another guy. And even though it's a new guy, it's like the same problem. She has another child. It's Thomas' son. And he was worse because she would go to his job and everybody would know the kids. And she knew he was cheating. But he would say he's not with the other girl, but he was. And then one day he said, when I'm with her, I'm with her. When I'm with you, I'm with you. And she was kind of okay with it. Like, what the hell? So then her cousin moved in with her. She experienced drama with her cousin. But again, she realized everything that she went through was like a mirror of her and her mom. So she finally called her mom one day and apologized. And then she started working on her relationship with her daughter and her son. And then at the end, I really love it because... Hold on. After beginning my journey of remothering myself with the assistance of the Divine Mother, I began to look at the role of a mother quite differently. Not just a woman who births a child, not just a woman who rears one, or being a woman limited to the title of cook, maid, nurse, teacher, or whatever hat we put on at the time we need to be it. But to be a mother, a real mother, a woman who operates dominantly and unapologetically in her divine feminine energy, that was a whole different area. When I look out in the world today, I see a lot of women with children, but not as many mothers. And that's what I try to say. I'm definitely working on my delivery. When I read articles and stuff, I see how eloquently they put it out. So if I said it harshly, I was meaning to say it in this same exact way. It's one thing to be a mother, but there's levels to mother. Like, there's level to rich. You could have a $20 bill. A kid might have a penny and be like, I'm rich. You know, an older kid might be like, I have a $5, I'm rich. An older kid might be like, I got a $20, I'm rich. $50, $100. You know, I make $50,000. I make 6 figures. I make $1 million. You got somebody else saying, I'm a billionaire. And you got somebody else saying, I'm a trillionaire. And you somebody saying, I'm an octillionaire. I never even heard of that, right? They definitely number these zeros all the way up. They start to use the damn calendar. January, February, March, April, May. But, and I feel like that's everything in life. So there are so many different levels of mother. So just at the animalistic basic level, male and female got together and bore a child. And you guys get in the heat of the moment, but it's really the egg and the sperm that's doing all the work. And that's basic. Animals do that. So there has to be higher levels as humans that we should be taking this mother role to. So I think she just said it so eloquently. So let me just keep on. As I continue to sustain my soul with spiritual milk, it dawned on me of actually how many women, myself included, parent and real children from our masculine energies. This devastatingly leaves out too many positive and necessary attributes of characters and gifts that we were created to bring into the planet, which limits our ability to cover and protect not only our children, but the world from calamities and desolation. For it is only the essence of a woman that knows her power and operates fully in it that allows this world to turn on its axis. You better preach. I began to notice at the base of operations of every business, structure, and entity are the principles and powers of a what? Say it with me, mother. The pure basis of life itself is a story and connection between a mother and a child. Not only was I noticing how great this intimate bond influenced the world, but spirit was also revealing how society was set up to camouflage such truths. Instantly, I felt even more empowered to be bestowed. Such gifting from the universe left me flabbergasted and in awe. Thinking back to a point in time when not only I was ashamed to be a mother, but I took this position for granted, not knowing the depths that it entailed. Now, rightfully so, I wear the title as a badge of honor. And I think one thing that makes me teary-eyed, if you can hear it, as I'm on my fertility journey, there are women that I literally just looked at a documentary with my mom, Oh Black Love. If you haven't had a chance to see it, Black Love is amazing. Different couples that are married sit down and have tough conversations that I promise you've never even heard. But you need to have those conversations so that you could be the one to break the generational curse. Like not a lot of people come from marriage homes. You don't know how it is to have a conversation with a married woman and a man. You don't even know what those conversations are. So you have to educate yourself. You're going to be the first generation. So anyways, one woman on there was doing in vitro 3 times. And guess how much it cost her? And this is on the low end, y'all. $7,000 to $18,000 each. Okay, so she ended up having it on the third try. But there's women out there that have to use money they don't have, because her husband had to work and put in that extra time to build that money up. But there's women that have to go through crazy surgeries. They have to do all these shots, these pills, these medicines. They have to pay other women to be their surrogate. I'm going to find a book on the trauma of infertility. I just want to know the different roads that infertility can take you down. Because I'm on the road of block 2. So all I know is a lot of women are taking Serapeptase. A lot of women are taking Don QT and doing yoni steam and stuff like that, doing castor oil packs. So that's my journey, and I just haven't even been consistent with that to see. But God just told me 3 months. I'm gonna do 3 months straight and go get another I forgot what the test is called, where they see if your tubes are blocked. So that's my next journey. But that's just one journey, but there's several journeys of that you can go down in the fertility world. Try not to say in the fertility world. But so you have those women that will literally die, will pray on their knees so they're bloody for this child, right? Then you have the women on the other side are like, oh, you know, I don't like this nigga, whatever, abortion. And it's just like, So, and then you have the mothers that you have all these kids and don't have an ounce of mom in you. You literally got all these kids in the fuck. You just having them. you might have joy of them being in your stomach, or you might have joy of giving them to your, you know, partner, or trying to make him stay or whatever. But it's like, I don't see the love between you and the kids, you know. So anyways, that just be my battle, like, Lord, really. And I did get an answer for that. My answer to that was, there are, I hate to say good and bad, but there are souls in the world that do the work on their own. And there's souls in the world that need some help. And let me give you the, because the example wasn't even fertility. The example was, let me just give it to you how it came. You have people that do bad in the world, and what would help them do good? Part of them, right? Their seed, something they would love more than themselves. It would have to be a child, right? So that child agrees to come into that messed up situation to give the love to that parent and endure the trauma and then complete whatever their other mission is in life. And it's like, either we can let the bad continue to be bad and overpopulate, or we can send them some type of help to try to give them a chance to change, which would be a child. Because I don't think all people accept the child as a means to change. So God is basically saying, I can either give you the child, and, you know, you could be on the right path already, and we'll give you joy and other things. And, you know, yes, you can grow and develop that child. And I can continue let the bad be bad, or I could give that child to them in hopes that they will be good. So that was the message that I got. Like, I want to give them something that you already have, which I do have joy and peace and all that other stuff. It's just, I want to share it with a piece of me. The fuck? Where's my mini me? And on the other side of that fence, God is like, they don't even have joy. They don't even have peace. It's like, you're crying because you know my love as God. You've felt my love. You see that it's so messed up here. And I basically just crave the love of God because it's really not here. But God is saying, I want those souls to experience. They don't even know what that is. Can I let them experience that? To have a chance to miss it? They don't even miss it because they don't even know what it is. So it's like, okay. That was my message from God. Like, yes, I know there's a league of women that will be amazing moms. But if we can just get this together, you know. And then you have to tie that in with, when a soul comes, a soul goes. So I hate to say it, but when I have my child, someone's going to die. And I don't want to rush somebody's death either. So I am being patient. Because God forbid, what if it's someone really, really close to me? I want them to live out their life and do everything they're supposed to do before they go. If God gives me that child early, they may have to leave early. I really think it's an in and out. Like, it's like everything is so structured when it comes to consciousness and God and numbers and stuff. It's probably a certain amount of people here, and a certain amount of people have to leave for a certain amount of people to come in, like that. Like, I don't think it's just random births and deaths and stuff. I think there is a pattern. But, So my mission to fertility, I also want to encourage the moms that already are moms just to always do your best. Like, if you don't know, you don't know. Nobody's blaming you for something you don't know. But once you know, then I challenge you to do better. I challenge you to leave a blueprint for your seed. I challenge you to push your seed to be better than you. I think that's what has lacked. Like, we don't strive to be better anymore. My mama was on drugs. My grandma was on drugs. My mama was on drugs. I'm on drugs. Like, what? Like, no. Let's break curses and do better. But, so yeah, that was what I got from Batter. I love how, I'm not done. She did the last part was amazing too. Let me tell you what she said on the last part. She said, if you want to measure how much you have healed, just look back at where you started and notice how far you've come. It may surprise you once you start to walk your journey and reflect how everything seems so distant and so small. What was once large things that took up enormous amount of space in your life are so minuscule. People who hurt you became people who you barely recall their names or even what they look like. Things that you thought were going to be the death of you now bring you laughter. It's kind of surreal that things that used to keep you up at night, make you toss and turn, worry and fret, become the things that you forget ever happened. This is the wonder of time and evolution, the beauty of becoming whole, to wake up happy with something that at one point in time, like I would never experience again, and now I get the privilege of doing it every day. I wake up each day in gratitude, and now I'm able to eagerly look forward to what adventure the day has in store, knowing that even if the day is filled with obstacles and challenges that were placed there for my benefit, that's what I'm learning, for my benefit, mentally clearer, I now intentionally live life with direction and purpose. That is where I'm at. So instead of saying, why me? It's like, why not? You know, why do I have to deal with fertility? Why not? Because I know that you can conquer it. I know you're going to be impatient as hell and groan and moan just because you don't like to wait. But you're going to complete your mission, do what I asked you to do, and you're going to have your family. You just don't like waiting. And I don't. That's my only problem. If I didn't have a problem waiting, I'd be okay. But my only problem is literally waiting, because I have the gift of sight. And it's like, why did you let me see what's not here now? And I kind of, So let me see here. Becoming a mom was my personal development university that thankfully I never graduated from. It was a push that I needed to heal myself of all the old wounds and scars that I had buried deep within. Had I not birthed a daughter, I would not have been equipped with the tools needed to birth my purpose. It was my daughter who came along to reveal the hidden shadow work that needed to take place to come fully into my life and align me with divine feminine within. I feel like my last breakup did that for me. It wasn't a child for me. I thought I was conscious, but I hadn't taken this trip yet. This was a different between my breakup and a mushroom trip. I am dealing with stuff. Let's say I knew about the consciousness. I was on the conscious path, but I didn't do the trauma work. So now I'm doing the trauma work. Intentionally live life with direction. Okay, that's a note that I put for myself. Unaware, through healing, I became more compassionate, understanding, and empathic to life itself. I started to see more of its layers and people instead of what just met the eye. I was able to see the reasons and motives to why people were the way they were. I realized most people were messed up by their parents. I am not excusing the behaviors that they chose to partake in. I just understand why they are doing it, which allowed me to help coach, counsel, and guide those who crossed my path. Spirit would later reveal that this was indeed my calling. In full surrender to God's plan, I transitioned my career path to working in my purpose, which is, I feel like this confirmation, I definitely transitioned my career, helping women of color get clarity and transforming in their relationships to overcome childhood trauma, codependency, and intergenerational abuse so they can experience fulfilling relationships, self-worth, and build loving, close-knit families. Yes, mama. Today, I am living in alignment with my assignment, coming up out of the shadows, co-creating a brand new life based on desires of my heart by trading my ashes for beauty. Yes. Spending my days falling more and more in love with the woman I am becoming and continuing to attract those experiences that reflect such, all while extending myself grace and permission to make mistakes and grow as I learn and unlearn the thoughts and patterns and behaviors needed to properly nurture myself and my family from the inside out. I continue to work on breaking the chains that have plagued Black families one womb at a time, using my family as a point of reference. Feet planted firmly, standing in my truth, no longer bound by shame, guilt, fear, or doubt, fully aware of the Most High's presence and love for me, fully knowing that my creation was for a special purpose for such a time as this. 2, share with the world my life story, testimony, trials, and errors to let women know you can overcome. You can overcome pain, hurt, shame, adversity, depression, rage, bitterness, addictions, and toxicity. To show no matter how many times you fall, you can get back up. I know because I did. I am a living witness, a walking testimony through faith, love, and perseverance. You can shift from being survivor to thriver, and your life from mess to bliss. As I progress forward down the path of my greatness, I will continue to do my self-work as a mother and as a woman, continue to be the voice of the voices, a light in the darkness, while spreading love and laughter along the way. And in the words of the insightful Tiffany Haddish, she ready. I really love this book. Y'all got to get it. Get a copy, read it. Because again, this is my perspective. So that's the view that I'm coming from. But you can read it and get other bits. But then, remember I told you I went to the book drive? I got 3 bags full of book for $15. Another book that I picked up was My Mother, My Friend. Imagine that. This book is by Mary Cardante. Now, I done got more than 3 signs of mom and trauma, y'all, if you've been counting. So, this says the 10 most important things to talk about with your mom. I haven't started this one yet because my sister gave me a book called Adultish, and it's pretty good. So, I've been reading that. I got like 10 books lined up, y'all. It's ridiculous. If I could just have a clone that could read all day and make sure I get the information, I would love it. Or maybe I'll send her ass the word so that I could read all day. But I saw some good questions in here that I wanted to ask my mom. Well, my mom. Y'all, I'm going to tell you something real personal. So, I don't shave anymore, right? So, it's like all my hair is here. Everywhere. And I've been making my own soap. And I've noticed that my hair is turning color. Like, they always told me I have sandy red hair. I usually see it in the sun. But as I'm bathing, I'm like, it's red hair everywhere. I'm like, Mom, come look. She's like, It's so funny. She is not with that. Meanwhile, my cousin, her and her mom will be giving each other bikini waxes. I don't know nothing about that life. So, I call my sister, and I'm like, look. And she's just walking there. She's like, girl. And it don't bother her. Matter of fact, she bathes with her daughter, and it's nothing. And my older sister, anytime anything wrong, I'm like, look. And she'll look. My mom, she's like, uh-uh, child. It's so funny. But I'm glad that God set up other people around me that can fill those roles. So, it's okay. Do what you do, because there's always going to be someone else there to do what you can. It's okay. Another book that I'm working on is called Yoni Love. And there's this woman that sells, you know, you get a pap smear. I forgot the name of the tool. Lord, forgive me. And she sells a plastic one that you can use at home. And she asks people to take pictures of the yoni. And she makes books and stuff. So I'm going to order it. And I'm going to ask my sister to come over here. Like, look, take a picture. Let me see what she look like. Like, I'm just so into the yoni world. And I didn't even know they sold that. Can you imagine being able to see your own yoni with a mirror and take a picture, girl? And this is another thing. This is 2022. Why when you go to the gynecologist, they don't have a camera showing you what the fuck they doing down there? Like, why? It could be a camera up there. You should be, or a mirror where you can see. So, I'm going to just order the damn thing and do it. I don't know about y'all, but none of my visits have ever been like that. So, I'm going to order the thing, have my sister help me figure it out. Take a picture and stuff. So, some of the questions are, what do you want to talk to your mom about? To fill in a memory, to confirm your experiences, to talk to her about your health, to resolve a disagreement, to air out a family secret, to gain or earn approval, to get more attention and nurturing, to share spiritual beliefs, to relieve your guilt, to be forgiven, to take your relationship to a deeper level, to appreciate and celebrate her. That's where I'm at. Just appreciate and celebrate her. She has enough. My mom has enough. I wouldn't put anything on her. She has enough. Just to love and appreciate and celebrate her. That's where I'm at. Let's see. I want to talk to my mother about her health. I want to find out the truth about my adoption. I want to know what she thinks about getting older. It's just like a lot of great questions in here. I'll probably ask my grandma too. And so, universe guided me to this book. Somebody else could have picked it up and it could have been gone. It was only one. But it was on the shelf for me, y'all. For me. Let me go to some other questions. Because I haven't even gone through this enough. I just flipped and saw some questions. She said questions to ask yourself. Why do I want to talk to my mom? What is my intention with talking with my mom? What questions do I want to ask her? What is the best time to talk? Where is the best time to talk? How will I create the right mood? How will I record her answers? What listening techniques will help me keep communication open? Ooh, this one says health and sexuality. What them questions look like? My mom gonna be like, girl, I'm not answering this. See no questions yet. This the section I would be interested in. Let's get to the juicy stuff. My mom gonna be like, child, you know. If we ain't had that conversation by now, we ain't. Let me see. Here they go. Tell me about your history, dad's history, any addictions, medications. This seemed like a lot of health. When did you start your period? How did you learn about your period? When did you start menopause? Those aren't really good. They didn't have no questions I was looking for. let's see. But I feel like God is preparing me for something. So I'm a little like, why did this book come to me? Questions to ask your mom. These are good. What do you like about being a woman? Where do you get your sense of self-worth? What is one message about beauty or self-image you receive from your mother? Didn't we do a whole article on that? Wow. What physical qualities did you inherit from your mother? What did you like about your mother's appearance, your own and mine? If you were easier on yourself about the way you look, what would you do differently? What do you like about the way you look? What would you change? What's your favorite perfume, hairstyle, beauty tip, favorite outfit, hairstyles? Would you get plastic surgery? What woman style do you admire? What is your weirdest beauty treatment that you've done? What do you think about the way women my age express their beauty? She can be like, over-sexualized. What have you learned about beauty aging? This is pretty cool. So I will try to do, how long are these chapters? Because if I keep going from one book to another, I'll never finish. So, obviously, I need to get some type of... But anyway, so that was that. Let me see. Was there anything on this one? I think that was it because I don't want this one to be too long. So, I will catch you guys on episode 3. Bye. It's 7.9 billion people in this world, yet you met me. And that is not by happen chance. It's a divine meeting, and may we guide each other well. If life is a school, what lesson did you learn today? What class did you take today? Did you pass or fail your test or pop quiz? If so, it's okay. Failing allows you to restudy an area that you're weak in so you can try again better than before and pass with 100%. Keep learning, evolving, and spreading love, and I hope you see the fruits of your labor. Namaste, levaste, and always vibe high, babe. Thanks a million for listening. I hope you have a better than great day. Love you. Talk to you later. Mwah. Bye.